Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
All right, we're going to get right into the message today. We're in a series called Night Shift, the Call to Spiritual Warfare and the Armor of God, as Hannah reminded you. Today's message I call Seeing the Invisible, Seeing the Invisible. Ephesians 1 is where we're going to begin, verse 16. And I have been doing this a little longer than Hannah has been alive. Anyway, all right, Paul the Apostle writes, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, listen, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of him. Remember last week about knowing him and knowing what he knows. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Everybody say no.
No.
Yes. No. Say that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay? Now just, I'm not going to preach on this or teach on this in depth, but I want to say to you, the word there, the Greek word there for you, the eyes of your understanding, your heart, being enlightened, is a really cool Greek word, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O, photizo. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O, think of what words we get from that. Photo, photograph, pictures, okay? Pictures in your sanctified imagination. Paul says, I'm praying that you can start developing the pictures in your heart of what God is trying to show you about your calling. That you begin to picture these things. And you say, well, Pastor, you don't know my life. It's so negative. Well, in the old days, the professional photographers would have to take negatives into a dark room to develop them into photograph. So don't give me an excuse of how negative your life is. Just take it in the dark place and give it to God and see what he develops inside of you. Stop seeing what the enemy is showing you. Start seeing what God's trying to show you, okay? And then 2 Corinthians 4:18, I love this, and the context here is faith. And it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at the unseen is the admonition of Paul the Apostle. Finally, I want to weave in something that my wife mentioned the other night at prayer. Oh, by the way, it's a couple of 2 Corinthians 5:7. I didn't mention this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by insight, not outsight. Insight. More important than outsight. Finally, Pastor Gil mentioned this at prayer the other night. The prophet Elisha, the Old Testament, 2 Kings 6, had been giving protective battle strategies by the Spirit to the king of Israel to protect him from the king of Syria. And so he was hearing from the Spirit of God these battle strategies that the king of Syria was only talking about in his little war room. And then the king of Syria was going crazy. Who's telling my secrets? And somebody came and said, it's that prophet in Israel, Elisha, he knows what's going on even in your bedroom, which I don't know what all was going on in the bedroom, but it sure was convicting to this guy. And he sent out an army to kill Elisha and his servant Gehazi. He sent an army, a whole army out after them. And this is the passage, 2 Kings 6:15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out of the tent, there was an army surround the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So Elisha answered, don't be afraid. Fear not. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. My friends, there is an invisible spiritual realm that is more real than your natural eyes can see. And God's forces always outnumber the enemy. Let's pray one more time. Father, open the eyes of our heart today that we can see. Lord, that you would open those, that insight to us, to know that those that are for us are more than those against us. Even as our young people and our teachers and all the people involved in schools go back into this school year, let it be evident that your holy hand of protection and angelic assistance is one thought, one word, one action away, surrounding all these teachers, surrounding all these students, surrounding all these administrators. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the call to spiritual warfare and the armor of God. The winds of change are upon us. By the way, I love that new song, Wind and Fire. Very, very powerful. The winds of change are upon us. The Holy Spirit is once again breathing new life into the church of Jesus. Revival is not just some concept, some ethereal moment, some kind of thing that always eludes us. If revival is here, revival is starting, revival is now. Remember, revival is not what we've been taught. Some of you were raised in churches that had revival once or twice a year when a guest speaker came to town. And that's not truly revival. Revival, one person defined it as a divine attack on society. It's when God and his people's prayers work together to draw his presence out. And revival is actually for the church first. It's not just about gobs of people getting saved in the beginning. That happens as a result of revival. Revive, if you think about the word revive, revival, you have to re something, it has to be vived in the first place. So revival is an awakening or to raise something up that was dead or sleeping. That's for the church. That's for the lost. The lost happens later. This is a result. Then the lost comes. The lost come in to an alive and electrified church. Let's face it. Spiritually, our spiritual growth is not this nice little graph that we get saved and now we start growing in God and nothing bad ever happens and boom, and then we go to heaven. That's not real, is it? It's more like the stock market. You see the ups and the downs. You have good days and bad days. You have some tough moments. And as great as life can be, not every part of everybody's life is great at the same time. So everybody's dealing with something in the room today that is different than what everybody else is dealing with. And you have strengths, you have weaknesses, you have ups and downs. But revival takes this, whatever the moment is, and stokes the fire. I thought it was so descriptive when Pastor Lindsay was speaking about wind and fire. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The Holy Spirit didn't come as a little dove, I said last week. He didn't come and just land like he did on Jesus' head in the Jordan River when he got baptized. The Holy Spirit didn't always come as a dove. He came that day as a mighty rushing wind, sounding like a tornado, like a freight train invading. And then what happened? Fire came upon each of them. Fire came upon them, filled their tongues, filled their heads, their hearts, their minds. And so wind and fire. Listen, if you can get little coals where you did the barbecue grill and you did some steaks or some burgers, some dogs on the grill, and then it starts, while you're eating, they kind of die down. But then somebody goes, wait a minute, we need s'mores. We need roast some marshmallows. What do? You go out there and you blow on those coals, and now the red hot part is, the ash falls off, the red hot part comes, and then you can go on and cook something else. Revival is that wind of God breathing on the coals within us that are, sometimes they're hot, sometimes they're cold. Sometimes they're almost burned out. You had a fire inside, and now It's waned from what's going on in life. Life happens and stuff goes on, but you can come back. The world's become more treacherous perhaps than ever. The word turmoil, I keep hearing the word turmoil as I'm listening to different things about what's happening in the world. We said last week, spiritual warfare is manifesting the promises of God by overcoming the evil opposition that stands in the way. It's not trying to manipulate God. It's trying to, God says in his word, here's my word, remind me of it. Remind me what I said. There's in the Old Testament, it says, state your case. What do you do if you're a lawyer and you're building a case? You find evidence in all these law books and you bring it out. Well, when I'm preparing a message for you, I'm looking at evidence from the scriptures and trying to bring out to build something, to build a case for what I believe is thus saith the Lord, what God is saying in the here and in the now. And so by faith, spiritual warfare works. That's why we call it the fight, the good fight of faith. Spiritual warfare is a fight of faith, not a fight of fear. Faith works through believing in the heart and speaking with the mouth and speaking out what God has said from his word. Now, as we move forward, I want to talk about this today. I believe the finest hour of God's church is upon us right now if, and that's a big if, but if we answer the call to battle, if we can hear the certain sound of the trumpet of God in the distance, calling the people of God to battle stations, to be aware, to be alert, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. It's been said some people can't see what's right in front of their face. One of the first keys of spiritual warfare is this: seeing into the spiritual arena with the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about imagining demons under every chair, under every tree. I'm just saying being aware. Listen, Jesus was not a demon hunter, but he sure dealt with them every time they came up. He was out bringing the kingdom of God, and wherever he said, wherever you go, I'm giving you the power to take the kingdom of God, and when you do, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. When you get out there and you bring in the kingdom of God, guess what happens? You're going to see some stuff manifest that you didn't even know was there. You're going to see some people react. Listen, there's a lot of people that are so naive. They think that everything is happy, clappy, and when somebody gives their life fully to God, everybody's going to be excited for that. And that's not true. In fact, when you get filled with fire of the Holy Spirit and the wind of the Spirit is breathing in your life, I'll just be honest with you. A lot of times what happens is your other Christian friends that don't have the fire feel exposed. Their compromise and lukewarmness is exposed by your boiling hot fire as God gets a hold of you. And that becomes intimidating for them. And so a lot of times they try to put your fire out so that it's equal with their lukewarmness. Are you getting that? Because this is the truth. And what happens, we had a guy, and I don't want to belabor the point, but we had a guy years ago who had been a drug addict and a male prostitute here in Ocala. He was the cousin to one of our, we had like a whole line of people getting saved the early days of the church. And this guy came in, I mean, straight off the street. His cousins were praying for him. They brought him in. He got gloriously saved, set free from demonic power, and was like a different guy within a few months. And then he was so excited. He was praying for his family. His mother, his unsaved mother, came down from Indiana a few months later. He was maybe saved, probably almost a year, really getting strong in God, getting discipled, getting mentored. And all of a sudden, his mother came down, and he brought her to church. And of course, you know, we were a little wilder than we are today. This is tame compared to what we were in the beginning days, because we had to like raise the dead in the early days, because everybody was, I mean, we had to have a move of God just to get people to clap their hands in 1990, 1991. Okay, so this guy brings his mother in. We're clapping and we're going forward and we're shouting and we're spitting. No, we're not spitting, but we're, you know, almost, you know, like get excited about God. And before that guy, he was so excited, she didn't respond. We said, look, here's how you can give your life to Jesus. And she didn't do it. She hardened herself. And on the way home, back to his place, his life was on a whole new thing. His mom was quiet and like somber. And he looked at her, he said, "Mom, what'd you think? What'd you think of church?" And she goes, "I liked you better when you were doing all that other stuff." And I didn't see him again for years. And last time I saw him, he was dying of AIDS. Last time I saw him was about maybe 10 years went by, and he showed up at church looking, I didn't even recognize him. He was so affected by the opinion of his mother that was determined. Listen, you know, you got to be careful what manner of spirit people are speaking by. You can't receive, just because you love people and they love you doesn't mean they actually want you to be on fire for God. And you have to guard your heart from those kinds of things, and you have to love them. He should have said that day, "Mom, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you, but I'm going to keep praying for you." Instead, he shut down and he went fully back into drugs and male prostitution. And last, I think he died of AIDS. I'm not sure of that. Last time I saw him, we prayed for him again, and we believed, but I never saw him again after that. My friends, you've got to be able to see into the spiritual arena with the help of the Holy Spirit. It may be strange at first, but that should be your normal. Your normal should be discerning of spirits, that by the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can recognize something is off, something's up, something's wrong. I need to be careful of this. I need to go this way instead of that way. We have to be that yielded to the Holy Spirit. You say, "Well, how can you know that? How can you know that, Pastor?" Well, like, you can understand certain aspects of the weather by looking at the clouds, the wind currents, humidity, and barometric pressure. So too the spirit realm. Jesus said, you can look at the sky and you can see the weather, but you got to see where the Holy Spirit is moving and where he's not. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is discerning of spirits. He will give you a discernment, a knowing, not a guessing, but an uncomfortable, I'll say it this way just to make it real clear. I used this example a few years ago, but my watch, if it's trying to let me know certain things, it'll tap me. It's called haptics. It goes tap, tap. The Holy Spirit will tap you in here. Now, ladies sometimes have more natural intuition, but if you'll build your spirit man up, you can be able to sense that tap, tap. We used to call it around here the big yuck. Remember Pastor Chris? The big yuck. Like, you're going along, everything's good, and all of a sudden you get this real sick feeling in the pit of your stomach that's not normal or natural. Something's up. It's not time to be afraid then. It's time to call upon the God of heaven and recognize that his armies are bigger than the enemy's armies. Remember, when Satan fell from heaven as an archangel of God, there were three archangels, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Okay? That's what the scriptures say. I'm not going off with some crazy thing. That's what the scriptures say. The Bible says that when Lucifer fell, he took a third of the angels with him. A third. Which is bigger, two-thirds or one-third? Let me think. I'm not great on pie math or pie charts, but I think two-thirds is double. Well, let me just say this to you. In the spirit realm, there's an overwhelming force of God's presence just waiting to help. But a lot of times we don't utilize their help or ask for their help. We don't talk to them. We talk to the Holy Spirit, but we release them by the power of God. Sometimes seeing is simply perceiving the origins of thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. Where are they from? In the text, Elisha and his servant were moving in their assignment to protect Israel from invading bad guys. When suddenly they were under attack, they were surrounded, and it didn't look good, it didn't feel good, and walking out of the tent, Gehazi, whatever you want to call him, he walks out and he sees they're surrounded on these mountains. It's like one of those old cowboy movies. When you walk out, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, they're on the hills. We're in trouble. But instead, when Elisha walks out, he's straight, good morning. How's it going out here? We're in trouble. We're going to die. We're surrounded. Elisha didn't even panic because he could see. He looked up and saw not what was standing on the front of the mountains, but was standing behind them. And he saw, it could have been hundreds of thousands, it could have been millions, but he saw into the spiritual arena, and he saw that there was angelic help with horses, soldiers, chariots of fire, and they were going to take care of him. It was going to be okay. Gehazi panicked with fear. That's what you do when you have only natural vision. When you're walking by circumstances, when you're walking, you know, the word circumstance is an interesting word. It literally means the circle you're standing in now. Circumstances. It's circular. The circle you're standing in now is not the only thing going on. The circle you're standing in now is not even, that may be an earthly fact, but it's not necessarily the truth. Let me say that again. There are things that are factual, but they're not true. What's true is what God says. What's the truest thing is what God has said from what he is saying. And you have to focus on that. The man of God saw something very different and was at peace. He has supernatural vision to see the truth, God's promises and God's power at work on his behalf. He had a peace that passes understanding. The Bible says when you fill your mind with whatsoever things are good and true and virtuous and praiseworthy, the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart. The word there in the Greek literally means garrison, summoning troops, troop deployment. That the peace of God, when you feed on what God is saying and what God is doing, more than what the circumstances are screaming at you, in that moment you have power over them, and this peace, the Bible says the peace is like it's deployed to you from heaven into your life. What are you feeding on? What are you feasting on? What are you filling your life and your mind with? What words are you listening to, and what words are weightiest to you? Where are they coming from? Don't be afraid. We've got more warriors on our side than they have on their side. Amen. Elisha's immediate response was to pray and impart his vision to his helper. Lord, open his eyes that he can truly see. Blinders be gone. Come off of his eyes, and I say to you today, come off of your eyes. Blinders be broken. See the way God wants you to see. So many times in Scripture, God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see. My friends, I'm almost done, but in a world of blurred lines, God's people desperately need to know. The Old Testament says this, know the precious from the vile. Discern the good from the evil. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. It's all around you right now. You can't turn on the television on almost any station without seeing the precious and the vile, mostly the vile. We've got to get past justifying our own rebellion from the godly principles of the kingdom. We don't need everybody in our country to worship God at this moment to see a turning in our nation. We need the Church of Jesus to get on fire again and get our hearts warm toward him, drawing people toward him, and pray that our government will at least not dishonor him. Will open and honor him. They don't have to be. We're not asking for the White House and the House of Representatives, the Capitol building, to be places of worship all the time. They're not churches, but we do, and we're not electing a pastor in chief. We're electing a president commander in chief. We got to get past all this nonsense and all the noise that's out there, and hear from God and do what he's telling us to do. We need to understand spiritual warfare begins with ideas, ideals, and ideologies. The seeing of the heart, thoughts of the heart, intents of the heart. And we have to learn to recognize the power of thoughts As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. 2 Corinthians 10:4 said this way, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural. We're not talking about guns and knives and stuff here. We're talking about the reality of casting down arguments. Look what it says. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The word strongholds literally means a castle of lies. Weapons of warfare, not natural, but mighty in God for pulling down the castle of lies going on against us. Casting down arguments. The message says smashing warped philosophies. Casting down arguments, smashing warped philosophies. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, capturing every thought, putting it in handcuffs to the obedience of Christ. My friends, not every thought comes from heaven. You have to be aware, all the time going on, little things that come in, little things come into your mind, not every thought comes from heaven. Some thoughts are from God, some thoughts are from your flesh. Some thoughts are from the devil, and some thoughts are from late night pizza. Not every dream is from God. Some is Chinese food after 11 o'clock. You got to be aware. But you've got to build a relationship with Him where you know the difference. And I'll say this to you. You can know something by its fruit. If it makes you terrified, it's not of God. I want to say that again to those of you at home. If it's something that terrifies you or panics you or puts a deep feeling of dread in your life, that is never a God thought. That's never God speaking to you. God speaks to you words of hope, words of faith, words of life, words of encouragement, words to give you a future and hope, words to give you to get you back on track and to let you know it's going to be okay. You're going to be good. You're going to be fine if you're turning to Him. In that same thing, I want to say this before I close. Every good idea isn't necessarily a God idea. Thank you for that overwhelming amen. See, I know in this church we got tons of idea people. You're creative people. I love the fact this church is filled with creative people. Creativity is in our vision, our mission statement, building a relevant, creative church, empowering people to reach others. So I know we attract a lot of creative people, and you like the lights, and you like the sound, and that's great. I love that. But listen, the problem with being too creative is some things are inventions from your own mind, and some things are just thoughts that are out of order or out of alignment. Some are things that you just take in, and you just jump at every idea and never fulfill any of them. There's a difference between dreamers and doers. A dreamer is somebody who sees the dream, and then tomorrow's gonna be another dream, and next week's gonna be another dream, and they're gonna fill you with so many ideas. And I love creative people, but time out. What'd you do with the last three ideas? Are they living? Are they work? Are you done with them? Did you complete them? Because the problem is, we just get so scattered out there. And the enemy, you know, here's what we realized a long time ago. My wife and I realized this. If the enemy can't slow you down, he'll speed you up. So if he can't slow you down to stop you, then he'll just give you 20 ideas. And while you're trying to build a framework for those, you'll get 20 more ideas. And guess what you do? You just keep spinning your wheels and dreaming and never doing or accomplishing. You have to see in the realm of the Spirit. You have to know who you're hearing from. Today, if you won't harden your heart, Hebrews 4 says, hear His voice. Enter His rest. Trust in Him. Most people know what DUI is, driving under the influence. But you know what LUI is? Living under the influence. Where are these thoughts coming from? God cannot speak anything contrary to His word. Believe the Bible more than your feelings. James and John wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans when they went through Samaria, they did not open their homes in hospitality to Jesus and the disciples. And James and John, the two youngest boys in the disciple group, said, "Hey, Jesus, should we call down fire on them like Elijah did?" Listen to what Jesus said. "You don't know what manner of spirit you're under right now. You don't know what manner of spirit you're of." You know, that idea to fry people did not come from heaven. Thank God. That idea to, you're so mad, righteous indignation, let's call down fire. That didn't originate from heaven. Jesus said, "Come on, guys, grow up. That's not the right spirit. That's not the right attitude. We're here to help people, not kill people." Right? What spirit is moving in your mind? The Holy Spirit or something else? This is even what keeps lost people from seeing the truth. What they see, and I'll close with this, my second or third closing. Sorry, Hannah went on forever. You know what? What am I going to? Hannah told me before church she could probably do her whole thing in 30 seconds. And I said, "No, just relax." She did perfect. She did great. Anyway, listen to this scripture and we'll finish here. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this. Some of you're praying for loved ones for a long time. You're praying for people that are lost. You're praying for people you have influence with and you're wondering what's going on. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, verse 3. "But even if our gospel is veiled," if somebody can't see it, shrouded, "it's veiled to those who are perishing," those who are lost, "whose minds the God," little g, the spiritual darkness of this age "has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." My friends, mind-blinding spirits of darkness try to keep people from trusting in God. But today we declare to those in our circle of love and community, as we fight for them in spiritual warfare, put the armor of God on, we say over them, "Father, let there be light. Let them see what they could not see before. Let them understand what they couldn't perceive. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and move in our loved ones to be saved." Our takeaway: faith sees the invisible in order to release the impossible. Let's look beyond the natural circumstances of life and ask the Holy Spirit for his help. Because all of life's battles are won first in the spirit realm. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your promises. Lord, we bless you, we honor you, and we worship you. You're so good to us. And Lord, we thank you for spiritual sight, insight, that we can see what you're saying, what you're doing, what you want to do next, where you want us to go, what you want us to say, that we can have an unction, we can have a clarity. Lord, we need you so much. Lord, we ask you to move in this house, move through this house. As people move into the fall season, going back to school and back to routines, let us not relegate your spirit to the sideline, but let us open our hearts to the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, just keep your head bowed just for a moment. Maybe you're at home. Just bow your head with us as well. I just want to say this to you. God loves you. He loves you just like you are. Even if you haven't been seeing right, he wants to have relationship with you. You say, "Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what my life has been a mess. I've been trapped in sin." Listen, those things do not separate you from God. or his love, they separate you from the relationship because you have to make a choice. When he's revealing his love, when he's letting you know, I love you with an everlasting love, you have to say, yes, I want to love you back. I want you in my life. If you'll invite Jesus in, even the most painful parts of your life right now, he'll never turn your way. He'll never push you back. He'll never tell you no. No matter what you've done, he loves you, and he is one prayer away, one moment, one word, one thought. But you have to open the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock on the door of your heart. But you have to open it up. And if you do, he said, I'll come into you and fellowship with you, hang out with you, get to know you. He loves you so much. Would you open your heart to him today? If you're here today, maybe you're visiting with us for the first time. Maybe you've been here many, many times. But for whatever reason, you've lost the fire. You know it. You become lukewarm. You've been through so much stuff that you just become average. Just you lost the fire. I want to pray for you right now real quick before we go any further. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I need the fire of God in my life for the first time or back in my life. I need that wind of fire. I need God to move in me, and I want to give him my life. Would you put your hand up right now wherever you are, all over the room? I want to pray for you. Be honest about it. Nobody's perfect in the room. There's nobody here that's reached a level of perfection. You lost the fire. Be honest about it. That's good. Very good. Hands are up everywhere. Father, I pray right now for every person whose hand is raised, every person whose heart is open, that you would come as a spark today, that your word would light up, that your word would light up the insides of everyone responding to that message today, that you'd give them the fire, the wind, breathe life into them again. Change us, Lord. Forgive us. Those of you that are here with your hands up, just say this with me. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Light a fire in my spirit again. Change me. I repent for the areas of my life that I've pushed you away. And I ask you to help me now. Revive me. Change me in Jesus' name. If you meant that today, I'm telling you, God is going to meet you right at that point. God's going to do something great. At the end of the service, I'm going to do something really different than I expected to do. But I'm going to have Hannah up here to pray for you today. For anybody who wants prayer at the end, right when we're done, I'm going to have Hannah come. Is that okay, Hannah? Just praying for people. She helps us pray at the altar sometimes anyway. But you don't even have to tell her your life story. Just come up and say, I need that fire. 17 years old. Just got her first car. And it's still working. What's she driving, Rini? What does she drive? What's her car? Toyota. Yeah. And it's great. It's awesome. We're excited about that for her. She wants to help you get on the road with your spiritual life, okay? Amen. You receive that word today? Amen. Okay.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.